So I guess I should kind of catch you up a little bit on this series. Remember, this is based off of a book. Okay, it's based off of Scripture, but there's a guy named Judah Smith that wrote a book, and the title of the book was How's Your Soul? Okay? And I was reading this book, and it just screamed sermon series when I was reading it. And then Pixar Studios was kind enough to come along and release this movie called Soul. And so now we have the perfect storm. And this is just a Barry kind of sermon series. So it's got a book that's behind it with a rapper that's a movie with all scripture based. And the little blue guy that you saw running around, that's Joe's soul. And Joe's soul is desperately trying to get back to Joe's body and what Joe counts as his life. And he comes across an earth portal. And he decides he's found his solution, so he jumps. And just as he gets close to Earth, he's snapped back, and he jumps again, and he's snapped back, and he grabs another little soul and says, fine, I'm taking somebody with me this time. And he jumps, and he winds up right back where he started. Now, in my world, the computer world that I grew up in, we have a name for that. We call that an endless loop. We have a name for that in life. You know what we call it? We call it a rut. And do you ever feel like your soul is in a rut? That you're doing the same thing over and over again, and you're hoping above hope that this jump is going to give you a new perspective, but then when it opens back up, you're right back where you started. I know that feeling. I felt that a lot over the past couple of weeks because I'm tired of this, what I was doing, and I'm kind of like, and this needs to be over, but I wake up and I'm right back where I started. I want you to give a thought to something. Maybe your endless soul loop is what I'm going to call it, is due to an unhealthy environment that you found yourself in. You see, this is what this sermon series is really all about, a healthy you. Now, when I say the healthy you, if I were to ask you about your physical health, you would probably talk to me about diet and exercise. Big words right after the first of the year, right? Diet and exercise. If I were to ask you about your mental health, you would probably talk to me about learning and some form of mental stimulation. If I was to ask you about your emotional health, you'd probably talk to me about words like stress, belonging, and acceptance. But here's a question. What about the spiritual you? When it comes to a healthy spiritual you, what do you got for me? Well, we offer up religion. We do. You know how religion works. We set a list of do's and don'ts and rules and regulations and thou shalt nots and thou shalts. And then we spend our entire life trying to live up to the standard and talk about an endless loop. Been there, done that. Hey, we've come up with a new idea, right? The concept of self-fulfillment. I'm going to go and pursue my life to its fullest, and I'm going to live every moment like it's the last, and I'm going to live a fulfilled life. Yeah, I know where that one ends up too. Been there, done that, and got the t-shirt. Got a few of them, as a matter of fact. A whole collection of t-shirts from that kind of a life. We talk about a deeper understanding of God. What does that mean? I want to have a deeper understanding of God. Let's just be quite honest. Usually when I use that term, what that means is I do more physical stuff to learn more mental stuff, to feel more emotional stuff. It's not working. I end up right back where I started. I just keep jumping, trying to reach my life, and I end up flat on my back at the beginning. But Jesus had another thought. This is what it says in Mark chapter 12, verse 30. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. So Jesus saw you as a four-part person. And a healthy you means that I've got to have all four parts of me working together. So how do I create soul health? Oh, that's a good question. I've already got about three or four different titles I could use for this sermon. How do I create soul health? Well, if you think about it, from a physical standpoint, we understand how to get healthy, right? I must avoid junk food, like potato chips and cookies and bread and all the other donuts. Yep. So I must avoid junk food and promote activity. That's how you do it, right? If I'm going to create mental health, then well, I must avoid misinformation and engage in stimulating study, right? That's just how it works. If I'm going to get emotionally healthy, then I have to get away from abusive and toxic situations and find ones that are safe and encouraging. Isn't that how it works? We understand this, right? I haven't told you anything that you don't already know, but did you know your soul works the exact same way? Funny, we understand for the other selves that we have, and that means that we have to create a healthy environment for our physical, mental, emotional, and guess what? For our spiritual. And we know that means that we have to give up things that lead us away from health and embrace things that do. That's just the way life works. And you know, we understand from a physical standpoint that I can't have a diet of donuts and potato chips and pizza and anything else that has the word fried in it, and then combine it with days spent sitting watching my favorite thing that's on TV right now to binge, and I can't expect to be physically healthy, can I? I'll be something, but it won't be physically healthy. Nor can I choose that lifestyle and then expect that when your physical health goes sideways, that I get to run to the doctor and look at the doctor and yell, "Make me healthy!" And well, the doctor might prescribe you some medication to make you feel better in the short term. But any doctor worth their salt, well, they're going to be part preacher. And they're going to give you a long lecture about diet and exercise. That's just what's going to happen. And then the funny thing is, then we get mad at the meddling doctors, because what does that doctor know about me? I mean, he's only spent most of his adult life learning all about the human body and how it's supposed to run healthy. How dare he tell me how to live my life? Don't he know I like potato chips, donuts, and I like to watch my television shows? Let me ask you a question. Why did you go to the doctor? Because you knew there was something that was not right. You didn't know what it is, but you know that you were not healthy. So off you went. So this morning, I want to talk about your sick soul. I never played much doctor when I was a kid, probably because I spent too much time with the real thing. But you came here today to this building, or you signed in online, and you are here today because you're broken. And before you take offense at that, that's not a bad thing. Just like going to a doctor when you're sick, that's not a bad thing. That doesn't make you weak. That means that you understand something's not quite right. And well, you do need to understand that everybody here in this building or in the sound of my voice that will sign on later and listen to this sermon, you're listening because you've got the same problem. We're all broken. We all have things in our life that are just not quite right. But you know the real reason we come here? You're going to hate this. I know you want to give me the churchy answer. I came here to worship. You know what you came here for this morning? You came here because you're broken and you want to feel better. You come and you sit and you listen and you sing and you pray and we gather around. And you do this because you are broken, but you desperately want to feel better. Think about how we come to church. We sing some songs. We say a prayer. We listen to a sermon. We talk about Jesus and God, and maybe we'll throw in some sin just to keep me from getting a little too cocky. But let's be very honest. When I leave here, how do I judge the success of whether the service is good or not? How do I feel? How did it make me feel? Did I come away feeling refreshed? Did I come away feeling convicted? It's all based on emotional you, not spiritual you. And that, my friends, has a name. That is called soul medication. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3, penned right to the end of Rich's sermon from last week. For a time will come when people will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, they will suit their own desire. They will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. And usually we associate this kind of a statement with people that have no issue in listening to God. This is people that want to make God be what they want it to be so that I can feel better about my life. Because folks, I don't know about you. I'm broken. I'm damaged goods, and I know it. I have known it. For all of my life, it feels like I am a broken individual. And I want to feel better. I do. But you know what my ministry goal is? This is my dream, okay? I'm about to really let you into the deep, dark world of Barry. You know what my dream for ministry is? Here it is. You never come back here to get another fix. You don't come back here to get more medication to make you feel better. Now, that doesn't mean I want you to come back. I want you to come back because you got healthy. Because your life has gotten healthy and your relationship all the way down to your soul has gotten healthy. And you're coming back here because you want to bring others because you know this is a place that where broken people can get healthy. That's a big ministry goal. I want to tell you something. That's a dangerous thing for a minister to put up on a screen and allow to be recorded because it's there like forever in your mind now. This is what I'm looking for. When you ask me, what is a church supposed to be? It is a place where broken can get healthy. And for that, we folks of the church need to learn how to create a healthy soul environment. So this morning, I'm going to give you some things that all start with the letter R. Thank you, Mr. Judah Smith. What a great outline you gave me. This is his outline. I stole it right out the book. I'm going to give him credit, so I'm not plagiarizing. I borrowed it, okay? And since it was a study guide with a permission to do this, I borrowed it, but this is his outline. But it said a lot to me. Because the first thing in a healthy soul environment is the ability to rest. Genesis chapter 2, verses 7 through 9. Then the Lord God formed the man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living being. Now the Lord God had planted a garden in the east in Eden. And there he put the man he had formed. And the Lord God made all kinds of trees go out of the ground. The trees were pleasing to the eye and good for food. And in the middle of the garden, there was a tree of life and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And as I look at this, this is not what I think is a healthy soul environment. You know what I think a healthy soul environment looks like? There are angels and there are clouds and there are pearly gates and streets of gold and a crystal sea. And God looks at me and says, here, have some trees. Really? God thought this was the perfect spot. How do I know? Verse 8. Now the Lord God planted a garden in the east in Eden, and there he put the man he had formed. And you guys know how I feel about nature. It's not my thing. I don't camp. I don't sleep with bugs, and I don't want the bugs to sleep with me. But here's what you need to know. In this environment, everything your soul needed was there. Ready and available. What does Scripture tell us? This environment that God created was pleasing to the eye. I looked around and I saw beauty in God's creation. It was nutritious. Okay, there were no donuts, I don't think. Maybe they made donut trees, I don't know. But there was nutrition there. They didn't have to worry about what I was going to eat next. It was like 24/7 all-you-can-eat buffet. They could just walk around and pick and eat and go. Man, what an environment. There was freedom. Oh, wait a minute. We struggle with that word, don't we? That word called freedom. It says in the middle of the garden, there was a tree of life and the tree of knowledge and good and evil. How about we get back to that point, what it means to be free? But here's the important thing. In that environment, there was God. Then the man and his wife heard the Lord of the God, Lord God, as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day. What an environment. It's an environment when I can come and be with God and I can just rest. Now, I want to tell you something. I'm a church addict. Okay, I've been working on this addiction forever. Okay, and I like coming to church. Well, I want to tell you something. Church ain't restful, is it? Hey, Rich, how was it last week? Did you go home tired? Yeah. By the way, Rich was here about 8 o'clock in the morning trying to make sure all the online stuff was working and all the bells and whistles and people get where they needed to be last week. So you need to really show some appreciation, folks, online, because Rich got you there last week, and Nancy the week before that. We gave it the old college try. Sometimes it just doesn't work. But you understand the environment we should be able to create in our churches is where the broken people can come and rest. Isn't that what Jesus says? Bring me your burdens, and I will give you rest. Now, to go with that idea of rest, and this almost seems to blow my mind because it doesn't seem to work. To go with rest, God also says, but there is responsibility. The Lord God took the man and put him in the garden to work it and take care of it. Now, in my perfect soul environment, there's a great big plushy lazy berry chair. And I sit in it a lot. And God has equipped some of these little critters that run around here to serve me. And everything is self-cleaning. Okay, there's no cleaning toilets or dusting. It does it all by itself. And the grass only grows about 3/4 inch high. Oh, and by the way, I've got an automatic snow blower to get the snow off. Yeah, that's Barry's perfect world, because Barry wants to sit. But in my healthy soul environment, God says, guess what? There's work involved. What? No. Yeah, there's work involved. True, God did all of the pre-work in the concept of creation. God created everything in 7 days. He spoke, and there it was. And when he was done, he said it was all good. It was all complete. However, for the sake of our soul, he tells us it's ours to maintain. You know, I have a question for God here. Why? If you want me to rest, why would you give me work? Well, because work does some things for you. The first thing is work allows us to appreciate what God did for us. You know, when you have to step into somebody else's job, things that seem to work just automatically, and all of a sudden you have to figure it out yourself, it gives you a great appreciation of what that person had done. And that's what God wants us to do. As we work in his creation, he wants us to appreciate how much thought he put into it, how much effort he put into seasons and food and taste and flavors and all of those things. He wants us to appreciate it. Work indicates that we have a responsibility in the relationship, doesn't it? How many of your relationships require no work? They don't exist. All of them do. That's the nature of relationships. And when we have responsibility in the relationship, it makes it our relationship. Work gives us the opportunity to personalize God's creation. Don't you find that amazing? God is the ultimate creator, but he breathed into us the idea of creativity, and then he looked at man and said, create. Take what I have given you and make it yours. Maintain it in the way that you want it. You decide how high you want the grass. You decide what trees you want to plant where. It's your job. Take the responsibility, because I want to see your creativity that I have given you. That's amazing. But when there is no responsibility, then you know what? There's no us in the relationship. You ever been in a one-sided relationship when you put all the effort in, nobody puts in the effort out? In the early years, that's what kids are. Think about it. How many hours do you put into your kids when they're like little versus how many hours do they actually put back out? It's a learning process, folks. But you do understand it's supposed to be a responsibility. You see, no work means our soul becomes lazy, selfish, discontent, and sick. And that's hard for me to hear sometimes. I mean, we've got the idea that this is supposed to be a spectator sport. We come, we consume, and we leave. And God said, no. Your healthy soul environment, going to take a little work. You've got responsibilities, things that you're supposed to be doing in your ministry life. And then while we're talking about it, you have rest. There's a place to rest. It's a place to have responsibility. And then there is a place of restraint. And the Lord God commanded the man, you are free to eat from the tree of in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of knowledge and good and evil, for when you do, you will certainly die. So here we are. We're back to this idea of freedom. And you know what? We have an issue with freedom, because we have defined freedom as I get to do whatever I want, whenever I want. That's not freedom. You know what that's called? That's called chaos. Because if you can do whatever you want, whenever you want, and I can do whatever I want whenever I want, and Rich can do whatever he wants whenever he wants, and Patty can do whatever she wants whenever. We don't have freedom. We have chaos. Because everybody's doing what's right in their own eyes, and there is no freedom in that. And there has to be some restraint when it comes to this. And if you're going to have a restraint, then you understand for our souls to be free, there must be limits. Even in God's creation, he had day and night. He set limits, right? We have a 24-hour day, and half of it is kind of warmish and sunny-ish, and the other half is nightish, and he separated the two. And for there to be limits, there has to be this word. No. That you may not do. Now, that boggles our mind, because no seems to be anti-freedom. And that is not the case. No is not anti-freedom. In fact, the absence of no means that you're not free, because if you have no, then you have no opportunity to make a choice. If everything is okay and everything is there and you can do anything you want and God's okay with any kind of life and you get to make all, then you don't really have choice. You have chaos. But God said, I'm going to create an environment where there are restraints. And you must choose to have the relationship with God by living inside the confines that he gives you. And we've lost this in our healthy soul environment. And it's not working, because freedom can only exist in the presence of choice. If all I ever give you to eat is green beans, you don't know whether you like green beans or you're eating them so you won't starve. That's the way it works. How do you know you like green beans? Well, because you try green beans and carrots and peas. You try it all, and you're like, I really like green beans, because you have a choice in the matter. If I take away all your choices, you have no freedom. So God gave us choices in our healthy soul environment and said, now, choose to live inside the restraints. Choose my commands. Choose this relationship. And you get it now, right? Your soul was not designed to live in a healthy in a chaotic environment. There's no such thing as a healthy, no-limit world where your body can be healthy living all your, can your body really be healthy and all you can eat pancake buffet? I like pancakes. Oh yeah, I like pancakes. But if I stay at that buffet, what am I going to get? Very fat, because I can eat a lot of pancakes. I'm not designed to live that way, am I? I have to have balance. I have to have restraint. And God says that's called health. And not only must you have all of those things, you must have relationship also. The Lord God said it is not good for man to be alone. I will make him a helper suitable for him. We danced all around this about a couple weeks ago, but I just want to make sure you understand it. It is not for mankind to live alone. You're not designed to do this all by yourself. Here's a shocking statement that I hope you picked up a couple weeks ago. Just you and God are not enough. How do I know? God said so. Because God and man were already there, and he says that that's not enough. It's not good for man to be alone. He needs other relationships. Can you be a Christian all by yourself? Well, yes. But it's not how it was designed to work, and it's not a healthy soul environment. You see, God desired us to live in a relationship with him. He desired us to live in a relationship with nature, take care of the trees, name the animals. But he also designed us to live in a relationship with others. I'm not supposed to try to do this Christian thing on my own. I'm supposed to have a place that I can come when I've had a broken week and I can just be me. And you know what? You'll love me for it, even though I brought my broken with me. That's healthy, folks. Isn't that what hospitals are for? When you're broken, you go. When do you leave the hospital? Okay, as soon as possible these days, but when you're healthy is what they're after. And then to go with our relationship, God said, I want it to be real. No coverings required. Adam and his wife were both naked and they felt no shame. And no, I'm not proposing a new dress code for church. I can remember when I was a kid and every time they read this verse and they said the word naked, we would snicker and giggle. That's a funny word when you're a kid, the word naked. But the fact that they were naked, that wasn't what the big deal was. They could be real because they felt no shame in being naked. Our soul was intended to live naked and open in front of God with no shame. Isn't that amazing? That's the healthy soul environment where I don't have to put on a mask to make you think I'm having a good week and I'm happy. I don't have to put on a coat that covers me all up and say, you know what? I can't be myself. I have to be this good, perfect, smiling person when I come in this building. That's not healthy. That's medication, okay? That's me trying to cover up my symptoms by putting a cough drop in my mouth. How happy would you have been with me a few weeks ago if I'd have just taken an aspirin to take care of my temperature, popped a little allergy medicine to take care of my runny nose, put in a cough drop so I wouldn't cough, and come in here and preach knowing that I had COVID? Y'all would be looking to string me up. Why? Because I wasn't healthy. And you don't want me to cover my symptoms. What do you want? You want me to get healthy. And that's what I want for your soul, folks. But unfortunately, we are living in broken. And I want you to see how it works. Because I think once you see it, you'll be amazed at how broken you really are living right now. You see, when things got broken, being real was the first thing that went away. Genesis chapter 3, verses 7 through 8. Then the eyes of both of them were open, and they realized they were naked. So they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves. Then the man and his wife heard the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and they hid from God among the trees in the garden. I'm broken. I can't be naked in front of God. I can't be myself in front of God. I have to cover it. I have to hide it. And well, eventually God would cover them with animal skins, and eventually he would cover their nakedness with the blood of Christ. But you do understand, real wasn't the only thing that got broken that day, right? have relationships. Yeah, they're broken. I mean, this is what it said. And he said, who told you you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree I command you not to eat from? The man said, the woman you put here with me, she gave me some fruit from the tree and I ate it. And so there's the relationship torched, right? I'm broken. I'm having struggle living in the relationships God gave me. And well, not only did that get broken, you know what else got broken, right? You can see it coming, right? Restraint got broken. And the Lord God said, the man has now become like one of us, good and evil. He must not be allowed to reach out his hand and take also from the tree of life and live forever. I can now live any way I want, right? Because God took away the tree of life. And so I now can live unrestrained because now I have in my head what it is I want. So I can create my own chaos and then convince myself I'm free living in the chaos. Am I hitting close to home? You live here with me at this address? Because I do. And you know what? Being restful, all gone. Yeah, that went out the door too. By the sweat of your brow, you will eat your food until you return to the ground. Since from it you were taken, for dust you are, and dust you will return. So it all got broken. No wonder our souls are living so sick. Because we're not designed to live like this, folks. It's all broken because of my sin, my choices, what I think. And unfortunately, I choose to live in this environment on a pretty doggone regular basis. So I hate to leave you here, but I'm going to do it anyway. We'll pick up this picture next week. You can just let your wheels turn where he's headed next. So Joe is desperately trying to get back to his life. He wants to get back to his body. Ironically, his body is dead, and he wants to get back to it. His soul is now free, but he wants his body. And here's what I want to ask you something, folks. Recovering church addicts, what do you want for your soul? Do you want more medication, or do you want to be healed? Ponder that for a second. What do you want out of this relationship with God? Because if you want more medication, then Lynn, could you please put about another dozen songs in next week's worship service? And we can just sing more songs and we can do more stuff and I can medicate you and make you feel better. But you understand, that isn't healed. What does healing take? You might use some medication to start off with to take the pain off, to take the edge off. Healing takes realizing what's broken. And healing takes time. And healing takes discipline. And sometimes healing requires us to change our lifestyle to fit that which is a healthy environment. You can't do both. If we're going to live as a church that just wants to be medicated, then you know what? People are going to keep walking in the door, and maybe they'll leave feeling good, but they're going to leave just as broken as when they came in. How's that working for you, folks? Not so good for me. It's been a rough week. It's been a rough 3-4 weeks, it feels like. So this morning, I want you to begin to answer that question. For your healthy soul environment, do you just want an environment that makes you feel good? Or are you willing to take the next step and help us create an environment that maybe won't always feel so good? Anybody here like the hospital? Yeah, not me. Anybody here like the doctor's office? Yeah, not me. Maybe it won't feel so good. They might have to poke and prod, stick and make some holes where there weren't holes and do some things that irritate me. But you understand, it's because they want you healthy, not just medicated.